Wonderful. Well, I'm not sure if you all got notification, but our recording has begun. Welcome, welcome, welcome to what month is it? Wow, it is July 2022, which means we are headed toward a big anniversary for us. But I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Jessica, are you here?
I'm here.
I hear you. For all of those who do not know us, my name is Andy Marks. You just heard Jessica Loomer's voice. We are your co-host of LHON Live. We've been holding these monthly conference calls for not quite, what would it be? Wow, I lose track
This is
of
our
time.
95th, right?
Not quite 8 years. Next month will be 8 full years of hosting LHON Live in August. Jessica and I had the pleasure of meeting for the first time ever in June of 2014. It was our first LHON conference for both of us. It was not the first one for the group, but it was the first one we had the privilege of attending there in Pittsburgh in June of 2014. And we quickly realized the huge, immeasurable benefits of connecting with other people with this very unique but shared experience that we call LHON. We both are affected by LHON and had recently been affected back in 2013, 2014. And we realized how beneficial it was to have those shared experiences and to be able to share them with others and make those connections. But we knew that we weren't going to be able to fly to Pittsburgh every month, so we thought we should start conference calls. So we started this way back in August of 2014, and we've been holding monthly conference calls since then. Which means quick math, we've had 96 calls so far, which means August, September, or 96 next month. So, what is that? Yep, December will be our 100th call. Did I do that right? I think I did that right. That'll be a big one. But we are just 1 month away from our 8 year anniversary, which is equally exciting. So, thank you all for being here. Each month, Jessica and I get together. Share our experiences, talk about things that are being discussed in the LHON Facebook groups, and generally just try and help this community connect the best way we can. We steal a lot of the topics we talk about from the Facebook group. So if there's anything you ever want us to talk about, feel free to send it to us on Facebook messages. You can text it to us. You can email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. There are countless ways to get that to us, but we're happy to talk about any of the topics you want us to. Otherwise, we just steal them from popular topics in the group. As a little housekeeping before we get to that point where we open up the conversation here, I just want to let you all know that there are some topics that we are not experts on. Those are usually medical, legal, employment advice. We're not experts on all of those things. So if those topics come up, we may direct those questions toward other experts or toward or we may direct you elsewhere for some of those things, since no one here really has an expertise in any of those, although we have a lot of experience there. But for this first part of the call, Jessica and I will kind of chat, and in a little bit, we will open up the call to have more conversation with all of you. And then after that, we will turn the recording off. So if you still want to say things but don't want it recorded, there will be an opportunity for that in just a moment as well. But Jessica, I feel like my spiel was a little different this time, but how are you? How are things in Denver? If you're in Denver, that is.
Yeah, I love how you change it up. Yeah, I'm in Denver. Things are pretty great. I was just on the call or just on the phone with Fidelity. I was trying to adult, and I was telling the lady, I'm like, I'm so sorry, we must be having really bad weather. I have been having a hard time hearing you. And she goes, yeah, I was just under a tornado watch or a tornado warning. We just did shelter in place. And I was like, oh gosh, that's crazy. I was like, where are you? And she's like, Greenwood Village, Colorado. I'm like, oh, that's where I live. I'm like, oh, I was right next to a window. I was just hanging out. So, but no tornado, and I did not get sucked away next to the window. So all is well here. But other than that, I'm doing great. How about you?
Congrats on being an adult. You should teach me how to do that someday.
It's not that fun.
I'm doing okay. I'm back home. I've had a million trips since April, March of this year, and I'm excited to have 4 consecutive weekends home over the next 4 month. I don't think I've had 2 consecutive weekends home since March between Vermont and New Mexico and Colorado and Florida and what am I missing? North Carolina.
Utah. So
there's been lots of traveling. I went to Utah. But all of these were fun trips, but sometimes I wish they were a little more spread out maybe, but I am going to enjoy being home and kind of sleeping in my own bed and all those kinds of things for a little bit. But I'm excited to be here with all of you tonight. Anything else you want to share before we kind of get to the topics?
Yeah, let's jump right in.
Fantastic. We've got four topics to share here. Jessica, would you like us to invite our guest here at the top, or do we want to save that to the very end, maybe?
Let's go for the top.
Go for the top. Okay. Well, then this is going to be a surprise, I think, unless you gave her a heads up. But as many of you know, we just had a LHON conference. And Maria, if you're here, I'd love to invite you on to kind of give you the floor for 5 minutes or so to share your experience there as a seasoned conference goer and organizer. Jessica, can you remind her how to unmute from a phone? Actually, she's on her Zoom app, so we don't need to do that. But if Maria, if you're able to unmute, actually, I see you're unmuted. So that's fantastic. If you want to kind of just steal the microphone from me for 5 minutes and talk about your experience and how the conference went this year. I see you're unmuted. There you are. I hear you now.
No, Maria, we're not hearing you.
No. I saw you turn the video on and off.
You're doing it right on Zoom, but is your phone somehow? Is there some other part of it? Because she's doing the right.
Yeah.
Is your computer sound on or something, Maria? It doesn't make sense.
I can. Well, that's okay. Maria, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but we just thought it'd be fun to ask to hear a different voice other than Jessica and me. So Jessica, I'll leave it to you. Would you like to kind of give a little background on the call? Or Lissa, feel free to kind of chime in as well. I wasn't able to attend this year. So as Maria works on that, if either of you would like to kind of give a little overview of the conference, broadly speaking, how our conferences are, but also specifics and unique things about this year.
Jessica, you
go. Yeah, I'll jump in.
Yeah, it looks like Maria's trying to come in on her phone. So why don't you start and I'll let her in when she finds her way in the other way.
Okay, perfect. And then once Maria's in, Maria, feel free to jump in and kind of cut me off. But I had the opportunity and pleasure to be able to co-chair the conference this year with Maria. And so we did things a little bit differently this year. We had not one of the normal neuro-ophthalmologists, but we had Dr. Marie DeNomi. She was actually a neuro-ophthalmologist in Phoenix, worked at the Mayo Clinic, and has a strong dedication and love to neuro-ophthalmology, but also just outreach and kind of really making sure that her patients have all the right information. She also is definitely well-versed in LHON, whether it's patients, but also her nephew that also has LHON. So it was really cool to kind of have that full connection. We also had such diverse speakers, everything from an amazing science panel that covered everything from, I'm totally forgetting I was like, Paul, you have to correct me on the term. I always want to call it a Charles Bonnet syndrome. There we go. Charles Bonnet to migraines, everything like that. And then talking about mindfulness, Robin Lanzi, who also has a son that's affected, she shared with us mindfulness and just kind of making sure that we can all kind of take time to recenter ourselves and really kind of focus and process and be in the moment that we are in today. And so a lot of the sessions that Marie and I talked about were just making sure that it wasn't just for the affected. We really wanted to make sure it was pretty diverse and everybody got a chance to enjoy it, whether you were affected in the way that your child or spouse were affected or you were a supporter, just kind of making sure that everyone could kind of feel well connected to that. I'm trying to think of anything else. It was a great conference. We also did something a little bit different that we went to the banquet this year as an entire group. So instead of having the LHON dinner outing like we normally do, we jumped right in with the UMDF And that was really great because there was a lot of opportunity for us to be able to kind of hang out and chat and network and get to meet each other, whether it was like the meet and greet session that was on Thursday night before all festivities started, or it was the banquet that on Friday night, where we all got to dress up a little bit, enjoy a delicious dinner, and just kind of hang out in like something a little bit fancier than normal and get to kind of hear from different speakers and things like that. So super cool to kind of change it up this year. Maria, are you here?
She has not gotten back in yet.
Still not here. Okay. Well, when she does chime back in, we'll definitely get her feedback on that. But all in all, it was great. We had a really great turnout in sunny, hot and steamy hot Arizona. But it was a fantastic time. What I think is most important is that I think there's many people on this call that were actually on conference or at conference as well. As the coolest thing about it is always what it is. I got to meet people that I've talked to on the phone for years and be able to connect and meet them in person and just be able to have a way better connection with them. And, you know, like such a better connection, I invited myself over to their house, you know, like that sort of thing. As every person would, once you feel totally connected and like being able to kind of strengthen that friendship you've always had over Zoom and being able to kind of meet people in person. So that was the best. And so, yeah, leaving 2.5, what?
I was going to ask Jessica, do you mind giving everyone an overview on how to access some of the great content that was captured there and when they can do that and how they can do that?
Yeah. So actually all of it's online this year. Instead of actual videos of everything, it's all sound recordings. Just as great, super clear, super easy. So you can definitely jump in and kind of listen to most sessions. And that is on the LH1.org page. And UMDF page as well, because you do want to kind of check out the UMDF sessions as well, as there were some other sessions that were beneficial, like clinical trial updates and maybe other sessions that you'd be able to relate to as we have a mitochondrial disease. So kind of check out both of those sessions. You'll be able to log on and listen to all of that for hours and hours.
Wonderful. Well, we will go ahead and keep us moving here. But I think we can all go ahead and give a good plug to those conferences. The next conference, I actually lead it up today, will be next June 28th through July 1st in Charlotte, North Carolina. So start thinking about that if you want to kind of section off some PTO, if you want to be able to make it there next year. I think a lot of us really recommend. That's been a great opportunity for many of us to get to know others and truly have those one-on-one conversations, but also kind of be in the midst of lots of other people. I know people in my life who aren't affected by LHON have enjoyed those experiences to kind of just interact with others as well and see the similarities between in how we live our life. So,
and I think this is perfect. Great, great call, Andy, kind of calling it out for dates already and so everyone can start planning. And for those of you that did go to conference, there is a survey. We would love your feedback, like what you love, what you didn't love, what you would want change and different things like that. So please check out the survey that's actually in the Facebook group that's for the attendees. So check that out. Please submit your super honest feedback because we're only going to do that because we want it to be better for everybody next year. And if you didn't go to conference and you were like, I'm dying to hear this, whatever this is, or I think this would be really beneficial, I just would be super curious. Reach out to Maria and I. Throw us an idea of something that you think would be really helpful or something that you would find beneficial as we're kind of going through this LH1 journey together. Because honestly, at the end of the day, the conference is for all of us, right? Where you all want to make sure we're benefiting from the different sessions and things like that. So what me and Maria might think are super cool, you might want to do something different. So if we can hear from you guys, that'll help make 2023 so much better.
Wonderful. And on the topic, I know you mentioned the topic of wellness being an area from the conference, at least in some way there. There were a few other topics that we wanted to bring to the group this time related to wellness. One on the food front and one on the workout front. So Jessica, I'm interested to get your thought on both of these. We'll start with the food. Someone posted an article in the Facebook group this month about different ways that visually impaired or low vision or blind folks can deal with grocery shopping. I don't want to phrase it any more specifically than that, because there are lots of different ways that we can do that. Some involve doing that in person, some involve other paths. So I'm curious, how do you find it easiest to do your grocery shopping? I know you live alone, minus a furry friend of yours. So how do you do your shopping for both of you?
So I actually probably do it in all options. I would say how I get a majority of like the heavy lifting of groceries is Amazon Fresh. And that's just super easy, just because I don't love paying a delivery fee. Delivery fees make me grouchy. And so having Amazon Prime, I don't have to pay a delivery fee when I use Amazon Fresh. And I think the minimum order is $35. And these days it's pretty easy to get up to $35 for groceries. And that's like the majority of the things that I need to get. I do live near like a Sprouts farmer's market. It's just like a natural grocery store, more or less. And so I'll walk there and pick up things here and there. And I'll do two ways. I will bust out my iPhone and use my camera as a magnifier to kind of find different things that I need, if I kind of have an idea-ish of what I'm looking for. Or I will ask somebody at like one of the registers, if I'm looking for something pretty specific, but I know I can't find it on Amazon, then I'll ask somebody at the register if they can help me like walk me to that section and like look for it with me. Whether it's one thing or 10 things, they're always super willing to help me out, especially in the smaller grocery stores. I found that to be super easy, but also the big ones just take a little bit more time to kind of get that designated or dedicated help to walk the entire store. But yeah, what I love about Amazon Fresh is that my mom always says like, I want to pick out my own vegetables. But I'm not really concerned with that. Like if I get a bunch of veggies and one is like bruised or something that I don't like, that I don't think is like, I would have picked out or I would keep because it's like too mushy or whatever. Amazon does a really great job of getting your money back pretty quick. I probably would have my money back within the hour if there's something that's not satisfactory or if something comes warm. Like if I ordered chicken and they cruised, I don't know, all of Denver before they got to me and the chicken's warm, too warm for me to actually eat, then I would submit that and you get your money back pretty fast. And then kind of translating, I've also kind of bridged into DoorDash, which jumped into the grocery scene in Denver, at least. And when I've run out of dog food, I can actually get PetSmart to deliver dog food for no delivery fee within 2 hours. So that's pretty easy and pretty convenient. But then also there's like DashMart, and you can get like, it's a pretty small, it's probably like a convenience store, air quotes, of what I would pick up. But if I order from Amazon Fresh and they don't bring me milk or something, and I'm making this big recipe, then I can go into DashMart, also has a $0 delivery fee, and it comes within 20 minutes and I can order milk. So I kind of use all of them in a combination, depending what I'm either speed of what I'm looking for or different things like that. But the biggest thing that's important to me is zero delivery fee. And that's where I find it on Amazon Fresh or DashMart and things like that, or walking. But so those are my go-tos. What about over there in Hoboken?
Sure. Yeah. No, lots of the same, a few different services that are, I don't know how limited the availability is. Our most frequent grocery delivery service we use is something called Fresh Direct. I don't know how accessible that is across the country and across the globe, but Fresh Direct is our go-to for grocery delivery. They also have several pre-made meals because, as many people who've been listening to this call for 8+ years, they know how much I love to not cook. So I like a lot of those ready-made meals as well. So I appreciate that. But yes, I when I lived in Florida, I used to do a lot of going to the grocery store. It was now 5, 6, 7 years ago where I did a lot of that in person and would maybe even Uber home if I walked there. But now if I'm going to the grocery store, I have a rolling cart that I can take and kind of fill up. To your point, some of the stores are better about having someone they can offer to help walk around the store with you. I think you mentioned that it's better at some smaller places. I find it sometimes better at some of the larger places that have a dedicated customer service desk, whether it's your name brand, whatever, it's Publix, Wegmans, Trader Joe's, whatever it may be. All of those tend to have a dedicated desk with someone who can help you. Some of the smaller bodegas or something like that here in the New York City area are less likely to have that. So I will go in those if I know exactly where something is I need, or I will know that I need to be pretty patient if there isn't someone who can help me and I need to do it on my own. Sometimes it just takes a while. But it also means that I will prioritize some other stores. Places like CVS are great to get help there as well. But yeah, Fresh Direct. I know even Uber Eats does grocery delivery now too. I've used Amazon Fresh. Places are better with giving, not making mistakes than others. Instacart is one that I have used before, but do not recommend, only because it's done by individual shoppers that are not employees of the company. And they often mess things up based on my experience. But I think a lot of that is going to be based on your location. So feel free to give lots of them a call, a shot. And as Jessica said, most of them are pretty good about giving you refunds or your money back if they mess something up, if they or someone working on their behalf, I should say, messes something up. So
also, don't be shy. Like, I often will just kind of cruise the grocery store. I do have my cane at this point, just kind of fun fact to share. But as I'm cruising the grocery store, and if I think I ish know where the blueberries are, I'll stand there and there'll be somebody, I'm sure there's a couple people kind of staring at what vegetables or fruit they're going to pick up. I'll be like, are those blueberries? Do these look okay? And they go, yep, look great. And then I just keep going.
Exactly.
So it's kind of fun.
No, that's fantastic.
Make me friends.
Before we move on to that next area of expertise, I noticed Alyssa put something in the chat here. She put the URL to the conference audio clips. And it's easy enough to memorize, so I figured I'd let you all know. It's just lhon.org/conference. I'm going to go back to make sure that's right, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It is, yes, I mean, https://www. Again, this is the part that you need to know, lhon.org/conference. So easy enough to memorize if you want to get there. But this next area in the wellness category, Jessica,
can I ask a question?
Sure.
So my daughter is on, her name is Maggie. And how do you order your groceries? She can't use a computer.
That's a fantastic question. Yeah. No, thank you for the question. What was your name and where are you calling from, if you don't mind me asking?
My name is Tracy. I'm in the Chicago area.
Tracy, wonderful. Thank you for being here. So thank you for your question. Jessica, I'll give a little bit here and then you can give a better answer than I do. But a lot of us will use different amounts of assistive technology to do a lot of our ordering, Tracy, and for your daughter, Maggie. So we have ways that we can use technology, whether it's a smartphone or a tablet, through gestures using our hands on the device. We can use either Zoom features or more likely screen reader technology. So technology that makes it so you can use that those devices without needing any vision at all. A lot of these apps are made very accessible now, so you can turn features on and be able to use what's called a screen reader. So if you're using an iPhone or an iPad, you can use what's called VoiceOver. And there are lots of great tools online, YouTube videos that can talk you through how to do those. So if someone could help your daughter kind of access some of those trainings, then she would have the ability or learn the ability to access a lot of that information from an iPad or iPhone. A lot of us also use screen readers from a desktop or a laptop as well that rely more on keyboard shortcuts. But I would say through either of those, that makes a lot of the virtual world very accessible to us, in the way that the IRL or in the real life is always, there will always be somewhat of a barrier. But as we mentioned, sometimes when you're in real life, you can ask for assistance out there, and that is accessible as well by asking employees for help. Jessica, anything you want to add there?
Yeah, I will do a quick plug. There is an assistive technology call that happens actually every other month. We just had one in June, so it actually the next one will be in August. And this is a great call to kind of talk about, like, how do people use computers and just like what tools or what tips and tricks. And always a great group. The person that runs it, she's fantastic. Sarah Nappi is actually getting her master's in assistive technology. And so great resources, but we all kind of crowdsource and share different things that we use. And so that would be a great stop for her to kind of, for a conference call for her to check out. But same, I mean, I'm actually.
Could you send the information on that conference call?
Oh, sure. Are you part of the Facebook group as well?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's in the Facebook group. We always post it. And do you receive the LH1.org emails?
No, I don't yet.
Okay, great. Well, we'll make sure we can connect with you.
Yeah.
I'll send my email to Lisa. Yeah, that'd be great. Because I'll actually share at the end of this call, all the calls that are actually going to happen in all of July. And so it'll be great for you to jump in some of those calls.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is that longest running LHON call, but as Jessica mentioned, there are many LHON offshoot calls. Many of them are regional, but then there are topic specific calls we hold as well, like that assistive technology call, but they all rely on the same call in or login information. So they're always the same place. So at the end, right before we open up the call here as well, we will remind everyone when those calls are over the next month. And as Jessica mentioned, they are also always posted in the Facebook group and included in the monthly emails that come from LHON.org to the entire mail list. So we'll make sure you're included there, Tracy. And I also noticed that if you have access to the Zoom chat here as well, Lisa has included a few links there to trainings that could be helpful from the Hadley School that helps with some assistive technology trainings, and also a few other links here as well related to the LHON Assistive Technology Group.
Okay.
If you have access to that, that can help you.
We have a Hadley location here in Chicago also. My daughter's been started meeting with Second Sense and also the Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind. So we're starting to learn more through those groups.
That's wonderful. All great organizations to get plugged in with.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Of course. Jessica, our next topic here beyond, for some reason I can't access things anymore, but our next topic here was specific to not nutrition anymore, but fitness. So I know we've talked about areas like running and swimming and biking and these kinds of things, but specific to a gym, someone posted something this month about a course training video about that was being held to help blind, low vision, visually impaired folks get acclimated to a gym and best tips and tricks on how to do that. I was curious, as someone who did not attend that, and I didn't attend it either, what advice do you have?
Annie.
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Perfect.
Okay. What other tips do you have on folks on how to get acclimated to a gym?
So I did this a couple months ago just because I was trying to like bridge and get into a gym so I could get my butt back into shape for marathon training. And I actually just walked in and kind of shared that I was visually impaired and asked for a 30-minute session for somebody to walk me around and orient me in there. And I told them I'd be willing to pay for a personal training session, whatever it took, just for someone to literally for 30 minutes walk me through everything, and just so I could kind of get the lay of the land. Because once you kind of get a tour more or less of everything you need to know, it's so nice. Plus, once I kind of walked in and shared, hey, I'm visually impaired, can you give me a tour? I'm willing to pay something. I just need someone to take the time. One, they didn't charge me. And two, then they kind of had a heads up that I was visually impaired already. And not that it was like this big announcement, but when I said like, hey, if you see me, can you announce yourself? So now when they see me, they're like, hey, Jessica, it's so-and-so. And they're like, all right, come to the left. Cause you can like scan your badgy thing to the left or to the right. And they're like, Jessica, there's a spot to the left. And I'm like, cool, thanks. And it just made it a lot easier. So that 30-minute session where someone literally just walked me around and telling me like, this isn't that, made it a lot easier for me to feel comfortable enough to kind of do that on my own. Cause I think when I walk into a gym, most times pre that tour, it felt crazy. It felt like there was so much going on. There was so much, there's loud music. I couldn't even like know which spot I was going to go to or whatever. And then just kind of having that tour really kind of set, gave me some peace of mind. There has been a time or two when I have gotten closer to a machine and realized someone was on it, which is a little awkward. So I mean, that's a little weird, but yeah, I also, I've, after I did that a couple of times, I did consider, do I just get a personal trainer and have it like every other time that I go? Like, I only go twice a week. So every other time, so once a week or every other week or something like that, just kind of make that like a little bit easier. But that's what I've been doing so far.
Love it. No, I think your point about asking for an expert to kind of show you around, or I mean, for some people, maybe it's best to go with someone every time. I think that's good advice for people, whether you are low vision or not. Sometimes we need the motivation of someone else to kind of speak for myself, kind of give me the motivation to actually go to the gym. So
totally.
Sometimes that's a good reason, or we can even call it a good excuse to ask someone to come with you, but it can make it more enjoyable and actually make you go, which I require that motivation a lot as well. I actually am not a member of a gym right now, but I've been using a personal training app on my phone where I pay a monthly fee and I have a virtual personal trainer kind of thing, where he programs as many workouts as I want each week. I could say, hey, I want workout 6 days this week, and he'd program them for me. And then I'm able to kind of screen mirror my phone to my TV, so I can actually get close enough to see some things, but also it's all done through audio as well, where he tells me to transition to new moves. And I've been enjoying that. That app is actually called Future. But there are many similar apps out there where you pay a fee and someone motivates you. There are apps that don't have an actual person on the other side that do program things for you. But as I said, I'm pretty lazy and I require the motivation of someone telling me I've been bad if I haven't been doing it. So I like that he can see what I've done.
Question on that, Andy, did you tell the guy that you're visually impaired so he's like more descriptive? Because if he tells me something like, I don't know, do 6 hang clings, like what in the world is that? So how do you know what to do?
Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny to even describe myself as having had a history of working out. My dad was always very fit. So like I have a basic sense of lifting and those types of things. And I was doing CrossFit prior to losing my vision. So I have a sense of lots of movements. But he does know. So when you sign up for Future, you have an initial call or FaceTime where you kind of go through things and you can tell him what equipment you have, any special needs you have. In my case, I informed him my vision and we talked about that and talked about ways that he could be specific in the direction he's giving me on specific moves. And yes, so the answer to your question is yes. Are there areas where specificity could still be improved? Probably. There are similar apps out there. There's an app called Aptiv, which is strangely spelled AAPTIV, which is a purely audio-based workout platform. At least it was initially. There may be some videos now, but initially it was purely audio-based. So as a visually impaired user, you are not missing out on anything that other users have access to. And there are other similar ones like that. I think Aptiv is the only one that I know principally. But if you can't make it to a gym or have a hard time getting to a gym or find the whole getting acclimated to a gym thing intimidating, there are other options out there for you.
Yeah, good call. I used that app for a while and it was super fun.
The last topic here before we open up the call to everyone is going to be a departure from the other two. We're not talking wellness anymore. But this is something that I saw someone posting about this month. And I always raise an eyebrow when I read stories similar to this. But I don't want to call anyone out here. But there are stories from time to time that we read about someone who is losing their vision or someone in someone's family who is losing their vision. And maybe a family member or they themselves decide, hey, let's travel the world. Let's see the 7 wonders. Let's go to New York or Las Vegas or go see a Broadway show or go see Niagara Falls. Let's do these big things. So, and I'm going to quote here. So your head is full of these beautiful things for the rest of your life because you've had the opportunity to see them. And I think that sentiment, like the sentiment of a lot of people who cited individuals around people who are losing their vision, is meant to be really helpful and caring and thoughtful. But sometimes it strikes me in a really strange way that let's do these things before your life is worsened by not being able to see. And don't get me wrong. I'm not someone out there saying I wouldn't take my vision back if I could have it, because I most certainly would. I'd do anything for it. But I also don't think that you need to do these things as if there's a point at which there's a checkpoint that you will pass where there's no looking back literally at anything that you had in your past. And therefore you must do everything you can to see things with your limited time or limited sight you have left. Cause I think it puts a lot of pressure on folks to capitalize on that time. It wasn't something I did, but I know folks who've done it and may have different thoughts on it. So Jessica, I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts on that sentiment.
Oh, I 100% did this. So when I was losing vision, and I was pretty, I would say there was a lot of people similar in my same boat of I lost vision from one eye to the next in 6 months. And so I quickly thought I had to do the exact same, or like to quickly see everything. So I booked a trip to New York City, convinced my mom and my best friend we needed to take a trip super fast. We went and saw a Broadway show. We went and did everything in New York City and spent way too much money as if it was going to be like the last trip I ever took. And it was just, oh my gosh, we jam packed the trip. We did all of it. And it was a blast. It was a super fun trip. We had a great time.
That was fun.
It was a really fun time. And then like 3 years later, I was back in New York City and I was like, oh my gosh, I remember this. And I remember this. And I had just as good of a time without vision. So yeah, like I had that same thought process that I quickly should like book a crazy expensive trip and let's just do it because I needed to, and then realize that I've gone on so many amazing vacations since, including New York City. And I haven't been to a Broadway show since, but, since then, but I've been to a ton of places. And yeah, I mean, totally. The Broadway show, we were super close. And I think I was far too close on the Broadway show and my seats. We saw Cats and I was too close. If anyone's seen that show, I was like, oh gosh, those people are not. Yeah. But in any case, like, I don't know. Looking back, like, would my life be different or anything if I wouldn't have done that? No, because I mean, I was in New York City years later running the New York City Marathon and literally having every person around me describe to it. And I think it's just kind of a matter of, I had to come to acceptance with LHON that realizing that like I was totally cool and okay with people describing things, a bunch of things to me, you know, like, do I think I got a different experience running the New York City Marathon with people describing it to me versus me reading it, like seeing it myself? No, I mean, because I wouldn't have, you know, you kind of trade some of those things. I wouldn't have met the guides that I had. I wouldn't have met the new friends that I've had for years. So I think it's a little bit of a trade and it's been so beneficial for me. So kind of looking back, yeah, I did all of that, but I still go on vacation, still go do cool stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think there's some power. And I think certainly if there's something that someone really wants to do and they want to do it as it was in their vision, I think it's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I'd also remind everyone that, hey, like, this isn't your last opportunity to experience these things in some way that can be really meaningful to you. And don't put too much pressure on yourself at a time where you're already having lots of change. And I think it's okay to forgive yourself. I always say that one of the lessons that my dad taught me that was probably the most important to me as I continue to grow is to set high expectations for myself. But when I fall slightly short or completely short of those, I guess, goals I've set for myself, forgive myself and forgive myself quickly. So I think this is a great example of a place to kind of put that to work.
Great point.
So yeah, that's the last topic here, Jessica. So I'll let you remind us all of the calls coming up before we unmute the call for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you so much. I of course had everything pulled up. And now it is, here we go. So just like a quick reminder, for those that aren't aware of our calls. So every month we do host a whole slew of different calls. Like Annie had kind of shared, some are regional and some are actually topic based. So we have everything from assistive technology to sports, to employment, to moms, to dads, moms affected, dads of affected, and that's mom and dads of all kids of all ages. So your kid could be 60 and you are still part of the Moms of LH1 group. Education and spouses, there's more, just kind of off the top of my head. So each month at the end of the calls, I do share with what calls are coming up for that month. If you don't hear a call that's kind of suits you for this month, definitely come back for next month because there's a whole new set of calls. Most calls are once a quarter. The assistive technology call off the top of my head is the only one that's every other month. So kind of check it out. And that's once a quarter. And just like Andy said, it is the exact same call-in for this call today. So bookmark this or save it in the One Touch for LH1 Live, and you'll be able to find us here for next time. So let's kind of jump right into it. So the next call coming up is on Monday, July 20th, and it's Moms of LH1, and that's Moms of All Ages.
Wednesday, Monday.
Oh, Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you. Wednesday, July 20th. Next call is LH1 Plus, and that is on Saturday, July 23rd at 9 a.m. Pacific. And that's actually it for the month. So it's a pretty light month for July, but no fear, August will probably be in full gear. So kind of check out those two calls. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you, Jessica. With that, just to remind everyone, we will open up the call. So I will send a notification to all of your phones and devices to request you all to unmute. Feel free to remain muted if you're in a busy, loud area. But if you have any questions or comments on the topics we talked about, everything from the conference to the grocery store or the gym, or even this last topic around hurrying to see things before you lose your vision, now is opportunity for those things. Later on, as I said, by around the top of the hour, because I like to be giving people, respecting folks' time, we will try and open up the call and turn off the recording around that time so folks have a chance to introduce themselves if they haven't done so already. So with that, I'm going to request the unmute to all of you or send my request. If you want to do it without the request, you can do that as well. But you should see the request to unmute here in a second. For some reason, I'm not seeing it the place I normally do, but I'm going to go a few other places. There you go. You should have the request coming to your phones and devices right now to unmute. If you'd like, feel free to introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from, or add any feedback or questions related to our topics. Quiet bunch this month, but that's okay. Is there anyone here who attended the conference who has anything else they'd like to add on that topic specifically? We're still having folks join for the first time, which is exciting. Hello, who's that? Well, that's okay. It seems several of you have unmuted, but if there aren't any topics or concerns, I know we kind of spoke a little longer than usual, but I'm happy to allow us to move to the portion that's not recorded on the off chance that folks have questions they want to ask there. But I want to be respectful, so I'm gonna give folks another minute here if they'd like.
Hey, Andy, it's Jessica from Georgia.
Hi, Jessica. I can hear you.
Hey,
Jessica.
Oh, hey. So what I'd like to hear a little bit more is about that, I guess, the Amazon Fresh. That's new to me. I've never heard of it. So fill me in. Is it just like When you do grocery shopping, you just pick the stuff out. I thought that was pretty neat. And do you think that it would work in all areas, even rural areas?
I know it's not available everywhere. You can probably look up your area specifically, but Amazon Fresh is a benefit that basically, I believe, if I'm not sure if you need to be a Prime member, I'm sure there's a way you can pay a fee if you're not a Prime member, but basically you can order groceries through Amazon. So if you're just search within your normal Amazon order and there happens to be a grocery item that you're searching that you find, and you were to add it to your cart, it will tell you that it can be delivered today if you add up to $35 of other grocery items that day. So if you then go to your cart, you may have something like batteries that you ordered from normal Amazon that wouldn't be in your Amazon Fresh order. So you'll see multiple orders there. Sometimes you could even order something from Whole Foods. And so you'd have three separate orders. You'd have a Whole Foods order, an Amazon Fresh order, and then your Amazon order. So you would need to check out specifically from your Amazon Fresh order, which those windows and times of delivery, you actually select when you're making your order. So you fill up your cart as much as you want, up to, as Jessica said, you need to spend at least $35 to have day of delivery or next day delivery. But then you select a window of time that the groceries would be delivered to you. Again, all of this is assuming Amazon Fresh is available in your area. I believe they're continuing to expand into different areas though, but I'm not sure where they are today.
Yeah, what I love about it, it's just like, I'll type in whatever, like onion and like a yellow onion, a white onion and a like red onion will all come up. And even if I don't see the pictures and like notice the color difference, they do a very good job of being very descriptive. But that's just my favorite. A lot of the other grocery stores, I know like, what is it? Kroger's, King Supers, Fred Meyer. I know that just, there's a ton of grocery stores that just do delivery themselves. Walmart, actually, I've heard really good things about Walmart delivery grocery lately. And so that's been really helpful for a lot of people. And then there's always Instacart. Instacart makes me a little grouchy because I don't do as great of a job. That's just my biased opinion. I think it's $100 a year for grocery delivery. And then you can get an unlimited amount of groceries all the time. And I know a bunch of people that do that. And you can get that from a lot of different places. So like your typical grocery stores of whatever's local in your area, but you also can pick up like a Petco or PetSmart and things like that. So you can kind of get a double duty. My brother does Instacart a lot and he does Costco. So he just like pops in my mom's Costco number and he does a huge Costco order. And that's actually pretty fast. Like he can do Instacart and like order in the morning, get it by the afternoon. Whereas Amazon Fresh, kind of depending on your area, it kind of lags a little bit. Depending on time. So it's all kind of trying to find, and I've often just Googled like best grocery service in my area when I first moved here and just kind of tried them all out to kind of see which one works best. Like Phoenix, you can get Amazon groceries within like 2 hours, which is bananas to me. Whereas in Denver, it takes about a day. So it's kind of depend on your area, but I check those out. Instacart, your local grocery store for that, Walmart, and Amazon.
Go ahead, Jessica, totally. What were you saying? All good advice. I think it's worth checking out all the different services. And again, your mileage may vary based on where you live, but good luck and let us know or feel free to report back to people in your local area what you find easiest. Were you saying something?
Yeah, I just wanted to toss out something on your topic of fitness. For people that are not yet aware of it, there is an organization called Challenged Athletes Foundation, and they provide grants to people with any kind of physical disability. And so blindness and LHON fit that situation. And they do grant applications every year. So the cycle opens September 1st and your applications can be submitted September or October. They're due by November 5th. And they have a couple of different kinds of applications. Sometimes it's for like a travel award if you're an athlete and you travel for your sport and they'll help provide a grant that can help pay for that travel. But then they also have equipment grants, and you can only do the equipment grants every couple of years. But a Peloton, you know, or that kind of a stationary or some kind of equipment that one might choose to have in one's home, you know, you might go, ugh, don't want to spend the money on that. But it's possible, you know, if you are an athlete and you have a disability and you would benefit from training at home, it's worth looking into maybe applying for the grant. And, you know, it you can't have it right away. You have to go through the application. You have to wait, see if you get it. And you know, because you can't apply the grant to something you've already purchased. But if you don't have it yet, and it's like something like that, a piece of equipment that would allow you to train and stay active at home. I know a few people have done that and they've been real happy with it. So I just wanted to mention it, make sure people are aware of it.
Yeah, that's a great ad. That's actually how I was able to afford, gosh, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago to go to the Boston Marathon. Boston Marathon, the hotel that they recommended for all the athletes for a team with a vision to stay at, was insanely expensive. And there was just, honestly, there's just no way. And so I applied for this grant and was actually able to get my hotel paid for, which made a huge difference to be able to be right at the end of the finish line with the whole team and everything, kind of bus taken care of and all of that through the team, but also being able to have the ability to stay at the hotel, as the whole team did, and not having to worry about that expense for weeks or months later, and having this grant was huge. So it's a huge impact, and great community too. So they have a ton of events that they look to help raise money, but also help you connect with other athletes. And then obviously being able to provide grants. So definitely recommend.
Definitely. We are getting close to the top of the hour, and I want to be able to open up the call for those who have questions that they don't want to record it. But before I do that, are there any last minute questions that folks want to make sure make it on the recording? I'm seeing folks drop a little bit, so I want to make sure we get there as well. Okay. Well, with that, I will remind everyone, these calls are every month, the first Wednesday of every month, always LHO and live calls. So next month, it will be August 3rd, always the exact same time. So that's 8 p.m. Eastern here in the U.S., 5 p.m. Pacific, on the exact same phone number or Zoom call that you called into today. So it's just a few short weeks from now, we'll be having our August call. Again, that will be our 8-year anniversary. So who knows, maybe we'll do something fun and fancy for it. But we will look forward to calling or chatting with all of you then. You can always recommend topics for us in the Facebook group, either under these event pages, or just find us and send us a message. Again, Jessica Loomer, Andy Marks, those are our names, or you can email us at lhoandlive@gmail.com. So with that, hang around, and I am going to go ahead and stop the recording so folks have a chance to continue the dialogue. Go ahead.
It's Lisa. Can I just make one Lisa. Quick comment? Sorry, I didn't get to say anything. I was a little busy with little puppy. But I just wanted to say great job as always to you guys. You're always so helpful, and you know, whether you be 5 years into this, 20 years into this, or, you know, whatever, there's always something that is taken out of it. And I really appreciate all that you guys do and everybody else for being there, because you guys are my extended family. And I'm really sorry I wasn't able to make the conference this year, but can't wait to hear all about it. So yeah. Anyways, just want to say thanks for the call. You guys are great.
We're happy to have our callers who've been here for 8 years, as well as our callers who've been here for 8 minutes. So appreciate you all being here. Hopefully, if you just caught in for 8 minutes today, you give us another shot next month. But I will go ahead and get the recording stopped. But thank you for that comment, Lisa. We always really appreciate the feedback, good and bad. So if you have feedback that's less exciting, we'll take that as well.